I believe no one here today would dispute the fact that we live in a time where most of the people are badly in need of rest. I don't think there's any doubt about that. As I said in first service, all I have to do is look out here and I see that that's true. And probably if you look here, it's the same way. We don't doubt that because we have huge industries that are devoted to pandering to our need for rest. And so we are invited to escape to many places, Jamaica or Cancun or Hawaii, or when you live in the Midwest, Wisconsin. That's more realistic for most of us. And I think that no one would dispute the fact that these escapes are helpful. I mean, we need to do that. Sometimes after we've escaped, we found that we didn't do what we should have done when we were on the escape, and now that we're back at work, we're finding out that we're finally getting our needful rest. That's true. Nor do churchgoers escape this problem of just getting plain worn out. And sometimes I think it's even intensified. The frenetic churchgoer is almost proverbial. You have a poem like Mary Had a Little Lamb that has a parody that goes like this. Mary had a little lamb. 'Twas given her to keep. But then it joined the Baptist church and died for lack of sleep. That could well happen here at College Church, too. It's probably true that most of us need to slow down. And most of us would do well to read the poem that Dr. Hendricks read during Summerfest. If you remember, in one of the sessions, he read a poem by a friar who, for some reason, ministered in Nebraska. I don't know what that has to do with the poem. He wrote it at the end of his life, and he quoted part of it, and I'd like to quote it in full here. If I had my life to live over again, I'd try to make more mistakes the next time. I would relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I've been on this trip. I know of very few things that I would take as seriously. I would take more trips. I would be crazier. I would climb more mountains, swim more rivers, and watch more sunsets. I would do more walking and looking. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I would have more actual troubles and fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who lives life prophylactically and sensibly, hour after hour, day after day. Oh, I've had my moments. And if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. I've been one of those people who never go anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a gargle, a raincoat, aspirin, and a parachute. If I had to do it over again, I would go places, do things, travel lighter than I have. If I had my life to live over, I would start barefooted earlier in the spring and stay that way later in the fall. I would play hooky more. I wouldn't make such good grades, except by mistake. I would ride on more merry-go-rounds. I would pick more daisies. And I can say to you that on July the 8th, that sounds just great to me. That sounds wonderful. In fact, a week from this Tuesday, I'm going to board a Pan Am jet out at O'Hare Airport. I'm going to fly to San Francisco, down to Orange County, John Wayne Airport. I'm going to spend 2 or 3 days seeing some old acquaintances, and then I'm going to Catalina Island for 13 full days. I've got a new fishing pole for the event. I've decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend time with my wife, with my boys, and with my books in that order. I even set aside some books that I'm going to take. I'm going to take the Brothers Karamazov, William Buckley's Atlantic High, even though it's the Pacific. some of Charles Williams' novels, and who knows what else. No phone, no TV, no cars. It's going to be fantastic, and I'm going to come back a new man. At least I'll have a tan. I'll have that anyway. All of us need to do that, need to get away sometimes and relax. We have to do that. And yet, as I'm thinking about our text this morning, we have a text which speaks of a rest which is fundamental and foundational to all rest. And there's a very real sense in which you can have the kind of rest that is the escape type of rest that we all need, but it'll never be what it should be to you until you have this foundational rest. And of course, this rest is in the text that we're looking at this morning in the 28th verse where Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Those are beautiful words. A promise to us, a promise to anyone, wherever you are and whatever your circumstances are here this morning. The words are for us. We're going to consider what qualifies us for the rest, how to obtain the rest, and what the rest is like. Now, who qualifies for the rest? Verse 28 says, it is those that are weary and heavy laden. Jesus says, "Come to me, you that are weary and heavy laden." Now, what is exactly does that mean? Well, in the context that it was first given, it referred primarily to those that were under the religious system of the day. That's the idea that we have in mind here. And Jesus blamed the scribes and the Pharisees for making that much more difficult than it should be. Even people within the system, like one disenchanted rabbi back at that time, described it this way. He made up a little story. The story is about a neighbor woman who was a widow, had two daughters in a field, how she had to support them. So she went out and she began to plow the field. One representative of the law came along and said, "Oh, you've got an ox hooked up with a donkey. That's illegal." Then she began to sow some seed. It wasn't pure seed because she was poor. And another came from the law and says, "You can only sow pure seed." So she couldn't sow the seed. Then, by hook or crook, she finally got it sowed and she began to reap. Another came along and said, "Make sure on your small land that you leave the edges for the gleanings for the poor people." Then another came along when she was threshing and said, "Give me the heave offering, the first and the second tithe." And she said to herself, "I can't make any money being a farmer." So she sold her land, she bought some sheep. And you guessed it, when the sheep produced, the firstborn went to the religious establishment. When she sheared the sheep, then they wanted their cut of the fleece. And finally, the story ends, of course, with her in tears giving up. That's a bit of overkill. But the fact is that within that system, people were just plain worn out. They were weary and heavy laden. Does that apply to us today? I don't know how many people it applies to here this morning, but there are certainly people that are laboring under a misconception of Christianity, laboring away in order to gain merit before God, to fit what little system that they have. And certainly outside the doors of this church, this is a common thing. And Jesus says to anyone like that, he says, "Come unto me, you that are weary and heavy laden." But I think Jesus' words have a broader application, and I think the application is this. It's everyone who is laboring for some sort of sense of satisfaction and fulfillment and haven't had it, been able to achieve it. I think a man whose life in a positive way reflects what can happen, what has happened to some in the last 70 or 80 years is Malcolm Muggeridge. A man who always believed, he says, like as a young man, like Tolstoy, that one day he would find that green stick that would make life all fit together. How he went through his early life not finding the green stick, and then lost in sensuality in the next stage of his life, the infernal grove, he called it, no satisfaction. Finally, coming to Jesus. He was weary and heavy laden. He found his rest in Jesus. And of course, if you know anything about his life, you know that Augustine and Pascal are his heroes. And you remember it was Augustine who said this. He says it for us all. Thou awakest us to delight in thy praise, for thou madest us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it repose in thee. How beautiful that is. Pascal said much the same thing in a more pointed manner. What is it then that this desire and this inability to proclaim to us, in other words, this inability that we have proclaims to us, but that there was once in man a true happiness of which there now remained to him only the mark and empty trace, which he in vain tries to fill from all of his surroundings, seeking from things absent the help he does not obtain in things present. But these are all inadequate because the infinite abyss can only be filled by an infinite and immutable object, that is to say, only by God himself. So weary and heavy laden is to be just laboring for satisfaction that nothing will fulfill. And Jesus says that if that is where you are, you feel weary and heavy laden. Exhausted is a good translation of what he has here for weary and heavy laden. If you feel that way, then you're a prime candidate for his rest. How beautiful his qualifications are. And then the question is, how do you obtain the rest? And don't be put off by the simplicity of the answer. The answer is, come to me. Wherever you are in your walk, that is the answer. Because you see, coming to him means setting everything else aside and standing face to face with him without anything in between. Personally, that is where I'll sometimes have a problem. Because you see, when there is something between me and God, something I really don't want to deal with, I won't really come to him. I'll work harder. I'll weep over my situation. I will throw myself into a task rather than come face to face. And I've discovered that this is a continental divide in spiritual growth wherever you are. If you're outside of Christ, it's coming face to face with him. If you're in Christ, it's repeatedly coming to him. Authentically. Undressed, so to speak, saying, God, here I am. Do what you will with me. That is the key. I hope that everyone hears that this morning, because if you're weary and heavy laden, if you're exhausted by life, you first need to come. And chances are, you haven't been willing to come. There's always something you're holding on to, some sort of spiritual impertinence you hold, you see. So that's the way we come. Now when we come, we don't bring anything. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. But we do take something. And the beautiful thing is, in obtaining this rest, we come and we take his yoke. Now that sounds contradictory. You want rest, so you take a burden. You take his yoke. What really does he mean when he says, take my yoke? In the terms used in Jesus' day, to take a yoke of a scribe was to become a disciple of the scribe, a learner of the scribe. And so what he says is, you come to me face to face, and then you exhibit a willingness to learn from me. You set yourself as a learner from me. And when you do that, then you obtain rest. And how beautiful it is. Because you see, what you learn, according to verse 19, is take my yoke upon you, that is, become a learner of me, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. How does that bring rest? I think it's simply this, that many of the burdens that we carry, our most grievous burdens, our ambitions, our feelings of inadequacy, come because we have such a high opinion of ourselves. Because we have not achieved the lowliness and meekness of Christ. Now, I would remind you, when the Lord Jesus came, He knew who He was. He knew He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He knew He was, but He was meek and lowly in spirit. And when you're meek and lowly in spirit, then you're in a position to receive rest in life. You don't feel you're always slighted, that you've been passed over, that you ought to have been treated better. It was beautiful in how King David, who made some tremendous mistakes in pride, had suddenly been humbled at the exodus of his son, the treachery of his son Absalom. And how when he was going out of the city of Jerusalem, going up over the Mount of Olives, how Shimei came out and cursed him, how one of his generals wanted to take Shimei's head, and how he said, no, perhaps God has spoken to him. Perhaps God will look upon me in this day. And he went to his house, it says, and the most amazing thing, as he was being exiled and his son had betrayed him, it says in verse 14 of 2 Samuel 16, and the king and all the people who were with him arrived weary, and he refreshed himself there. He found rest and refreshment because of his humble spirit. How beautiful it is. And so, how do we find rest? We come to Jesus and we receive from His Spirit. How does He give His Spirit to us? The marvelous image of the yoke is so instructive because it gives us the picture of being yoked up with Jesus, just like an ox. In those days, when you teach an ox how to be a good ox, you'd hook him up with an experienced ox, and a dynamic learning would take place. Instead of going off the path, you learn just what to do. We are, in a far more profound sense, related to Jesus. And as we yield to Him and walk with Him, we learn His steps, and the burden becomes light, and it becomes easy. In fact, the burden that He gives, the rest that the Lord Jesus gives, is really one that causes us to walk tall and empowered. In fact, the rest, it's not like so much just laying back and nothing happening, but it's more like an eagle mounting the winds with his wings fixed and outstretched, riding in power in the rest that he gives. Augustine said, this burden is not weighed upon one that is laden, but the wing of one that is about to fly. Friends, we live in a fast-paced world. Some of you need to escape, even farther than Wisconsin. Need to really do it up royal and get away. But it's true, sometimes we come back to work and find it's necessary to recover from our rest and relaxation. It's also true, we need to learn to eat more ice cream. We learn to need to take our shoes off and not put them on for a while. Those are all things that are true. But fundamental to all of this is the fact that we need that basic rest which Christ gives. The rest, the repose of soul, a soul that rests in the middle of busyness, like Jesus did, a soul that bubbles up into our physical and our psychic and gives us a profound rest which the world cannot give. How do we get it? First of all, by seeing that we are weary and heavy laden. Are you? Are you exhausted? You want to rest this morning? Secondly, we need to come to Him. Just come to Jesus. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Come like that. And third, we need to cultivate His yoke. Lord, teach me. I am here to learn. And then realize this. And this is a beautiful thing. Jesus gives the invitation. In the language here, it's emphatic. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I alone will give you rest. It's from Jesus. When He said these words, He had the cross before Him. He died on the cross for our sins. He was resurrected to new life. He reigns in power. He's going to come to judge the living and the dead. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he says this morning, not me, not the pastor, but Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How beautiful. With the table that he set before us this morning, to come to him, open, nothing in between, and receive rest for our weary souls. Are you weary? Come and receive. Drink deeply of him this morning. Let us pray. Our Lord Jesus, we are grateful that you gave these soothing words those thousands of years ago, and what a balm they are to our souls. And so, Lord, we come. Lord, if there are some this morning which are holding back, some believers even that are holding back, release them, Father, and help them to lay themselves before you and be learners and receive rest. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.